Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning to you. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hills. And speaking of locations, we're here at the American Natural location in Wexford, Route 910 and 79. Come and see us after 6:30. Breakfast sandwich on us, the first 40 people to come and say hello. We'll give you your breakfast, so come by and see us. We love American Natural. And by the way, you can text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Jim Colony put it very well in that opening update for our show. The winless road trip so far. Yes, the Pirates can't seem to get it done on the road. In totality, though, they've lost 7 in a row. They've lost 18. They're 18 of 24 they've lost now.
They're terrible right
they're
now.
They're just not good.
Awful.
They are just awful. And they just can't find a way to get it done in so much as they'll score some runs and still can't win. And those 18 of 24 losses, Chris, I was looking at this. Less than 4 runs they've given up to the opponents just 2 times.
Right.
Teams are pounding the baseball on them.
The strength of this team was supposed to be the pitching staff, ends of it. And while the bullpen has faltered, due in large part to performance rather than injuries, the rotation has suffered because of injuries to your top 2 starters, and then the next 2 just haven't been what you expected them to be at all.
The crazy part about it is you think, well, we score 4 runs, we got a pretty good chance to win, right? I mean, that's where you are in baseball. They're only 24-16 when they score at least 4 runs. So they're giving up a ton of runs. Tell us about it yesterday, starter Joe Musgrove.
Not good enough.
I felt
all right. Go ahead, producer Matt.
I didn't feel like it was a normal start day, but my arm felt good enough. My, you know, my stuff was good. I was executing. Sliders were good. 4-seam sinker was really good. So I don't think that had anything to do with the result.
Yeah, it may not have had anything to do with the result, but his results haven't been good enough. You look at Musgrove and you look at Archer, and those are 2 guys that you circled that were supposed to be 2/5 of this rotation that were, well, supposed to be good or at least supposed to be better than what they are.
It's unacceptable. I mean, look, you can blame as much, like I started to say, you can blame as much as you want on the top 2 guys being out and being injured. And Trevor Williams' rehab start, for what it's worth, didn't go exactly swimmingly in Indianapolis last night either. But it comes down to Archer and Musgrove with an opportunity to step up and prove that they are more of what we've seen in flashes than what we've seen in larger part since they both became Pirates. They haven't stepped up and done it. They just haven't.
Musgrove's ERA in June is 6.39. Musgrove's ERA through the month of May was 8.10. You jumble those together, you come up with a Musgrove that really saved his backside early this year in April, and he's at a 4.87 ERA. Here's a guy that's had 1 win in his last 5 decisions. He's just not getting it done. He's not going deep enough in games. He's not efficient at all. I don't mean to call the guy out too much, but the Pirates look to him to be a stabilizing force, and he just hasn't been that. He hasn't been that. We talk and talk and talk about Archer, and maybe all the talk about Archer and how bad he's been has taken away some of the focus off of Musgrove not being as good as expected either.
Well, and I think it's both of them, but I think with the problem with Archer is he's gone on these streaks where he's just been awful for a handful of starts in a row. With Musgrove, it's up and down, and you'll get a really nice start. You'll get that one he had where he worked into the ninth a couple weeks ago, or no, it was just last week against the Braves. And then you'll get 2 or 3 like you got yesterday where he goes 4 innings or he goes 5 innings, he gives up 5 or 6 runs, and you look at him and go, where's the dude? Where's the guy who we just saw last week who was efficient, got swing and miss, got soft contact, worked into the ninth, and looked like a third or fourth starter behind Tyone and Williams? And this is what the people in Houston saw when he was so up and down with the Astros earlier in his career, where they would say, you know what, this is why you're going to end up in the bullpen, Joe, because you can't consistently do it as a starter.
And it doesn't look to get much better from here. The Pirates right now, between June 21st, so that's a week from now, and July 26th, they play a bunch of teams that are 500 or above, or right at around 500. San Diego, Houston, Milwaukee, Chicago, St. Louis, Philadelphia, and the Mets. That's going to tell the tale as to what they do at the deadline. All those teams between a week from now and then in and around the deadline. Of course, you have between now and then Miami, and you have Detroit. But then when it starts with San Diego coming up in about a week from now, it's on, and you could really go into a tailspin.
It could get ugly in Houston and Milwaukee next week, mm-hmm. or the week after next, I guess. And then a homestand against the Cubs and the Brewers that, I'll be honest, you don't feel a ton of confidence about this team on any given night, not just because of the seven-game losing streak, obviously, but because you have no idea what you're going to get off the mound on a given night.
Coming up next, though, there is one bright spot, or at least if you're Clint Hurdle and you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, one thing for me that is a must every single day, because it has been, well, a bright spot. We tell you what that is coming up next. We're here at the American Natural in Wexford. Stop by and see us in 20 minutes from now, from at 6:30 on for the rest of the morning while we're here. Breakfast sandwich on us, at least the first 40 people to stop by and say hello. Breakfast sandwich on us. That's coming up from 6:30 on here at the Fan Morning Show. 412-928-9370. Good morning to you, American Natural. That's where we are in Wexford, 79 and 910. Come and see us. Breakfast sandwiches on us starting at 6:30 for the first 40 people who come and say hello. Forgot to tell you this, sold out, Fan Open, one more foursome left.
Yes.
It could be yours. Tweet us at 937TheFan right now. Use the hashtag FanOpenContest. Hashtag FanOpenContest. Tell us why you should be at the Fan Open June 21st. That's next week, week from today. Brought to you by Bowser Chevy, Manor Valley, Coors Light, Keystone Shooting Center, Corona, Old Smoky, and Tito's Vodka. Tweet us right now about this. Hashtag Fan Open Contest. You can get that last spot in the Fan Open. All right, let's get into something where there's a lot not going right for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but there is one thing glaringly right. Let's hear from Clint Hurdle about the guy that's got it going on, and that's Brian Reynolds.
Well, you start taking it for granted, you're missing the boat of what's going on. And you're losing and lacking appreciation of what he's been able to do and continues to do. So by no means do we back off and take it for granted.
All right, we don't back off, but you did rest him 2 days consecutively this past week. It's a guy that went 3-for-4 yesterday, couple doubles, his average now at 350. You know, I've reached a point where I watch these games, and there's a ton of negatives, and the big picture is a ton of negatives. And, you know, this team is now 9 games back. They're in last place. They're 30-38. But you try to peel layers of the onion away and look for some positives. Brian Reynolds needs to be, okay, you get the lineup card, you look at those 9 spots, you put Reynolds in wherever you want to hit him, you put him in, and then you build 8 guys around from there.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to get another day off.
Ever.
He needs to be in, he's hitting 350, for God's sake. Let the kid go to the plate and rake. And you find time when you can to fit Dickerson and Cabrera in as you need to try and showcase them for any kind of trades you're going to make over the next 5 to 6 weeks. But Reynolds needs to play every stinking day. There's no question about it. You need to see if this is real. You need to see how long he can ride it. And if he rides it for another month, then I think you start to get into the territory of, okay, this is real, which makes it even more advantageous to just keep playing.
Well, I want to go into Bradenton next year and find out if he can withstand that grind of a full season. I don't want it to say, well, you know, he only played X amount of games. This is only a guy that played 92 games or whatever. And can he do it for – find it out now while you got nothing else going on.
Your two hottest hitters far and away are Bell and Reynolds.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to roll Josh Bell out there every single day and make it a big deal when you decide to unplug him and give him a day off, the same should go for Reynolds.
Plus, you know, in a weird way, and I know that it would be Jason Martin probably playing center field, although I think Reynolds could probably help you there. You find out what you can do with the future of Starling Marte if you withstand the rigors of day-to-day with Brian Reynolds and just how good he can be.
Right. I mean, and he's had the few struggles here and there in the field, but look, with his bat, I'll take those few little misplays out there in the field, even in center field from time to time, to get a guy who's hitting 350 and you know, extra base hits to the gap and kept you in the game in the ninth inning.
And I'm not all about individual awards, but he's got a chance to win the National League Rookie of the Year if you keep him in games and he keeps hitting the baseball.
Yes.
There is no excuse. There's no jockeying in Polanco. What you got with Malky? Is Dickerson on the trade block? Teams need to see him. Brian Reynolds earned a spot. He should play every day. He should be in the lineup every day. And if Clint Hurdle doesn't put him in the lineup every day, something is glaringly wrong with his managerial tactics.
You know what you have in Polanco. You know what you have for the most part in Marte, and it's going to be up and down. Like I said, Dickerson.
And God forbid if they send him back.
Dickerson and Cabrera. Oh, my God. People will pitchforks and torches at PNC Park. Dickerson and Cabrera, I understand trying to shoehorn them into the lineup. I get it. Because you've got an opportunity to get something in return if they really show out well over the next month. But more importantly, is the development of Brian Reynolds.
Breakfast Bite coming up next. You're going to want to hear it. Somebody held a trophy last night. That's that. And then, yeah, our favorite football team from up by the lake, they're already having a ton of fun. And it's not even training camp yet. That's all straight ahead. We're here at American Natural in Wexford. Come and see us. Grab a breakfast sandwich. We are the Fan Morning Show. All righty, let's do it. How about from Raptors Radio? Go ahead.
Cousins inbounds the ball. Curry heaves it at the buzzer. It's no good. Franchise history. League history. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. A city, a province, a country celebrates. The NBA championship is due north.
There it is.
All right.
From Raptors Radio. I like it. You know, I wanted the Raptors after the playoffs started to get going a little bit and they won the first round. Not that I was tired of Golden State, because I don't hate Golden State, but I kind of wanted the Raptors to win after they started to get it going. And especially after, you know, they do like that man on the street sort of stuff on different late night shows.
Yeah.
Whatever. And there was one, and it made the rounds on the internet. I'm sure a bunch of people saw it. I forget what late night show it was. It could have just been for the internet. And they're walking up to random people. And Toronto's such a melting pot.
Yes.
You know, there's Caucasian people. There's black people. There's Asian people, Indian people. I mean, there's just a bunch of different people from a bunch of different ethnic backgrounds. And they kind of hit about, I don't know, 8 or 9 different people from all different ethnic backgrounds. And they said, all right. And the guy was like,
I saw this.
Talk smack on the Golden State. And every single person goes, why?
You know, they're nice. A good team.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that. That's not how we are in Toronto. And it really was like, you know, this kind of respect factor for your opponent. I know we talked about that from a playing standpoint, which is like totally different. But from a fan standpoint, they were like, no, we're not going to root for them, but we're not going to overtly be like, you suck. I can't stand you. We just kind of root for our team. We leave it at that.
Other than the few knuckleheads that cheered when Durant got hurt, they're just good fans.
And I was, I don't know, it sort of warmed my heart how together those fans were. You know, and I mean, naturally, they cheered when a man got hurt, but it got quelled pretty quickly. And I think it was a couple outlier fans.
Yes.
But in watching that, it was just like, okay, I know I picked the right team to root for in these NBA playoffs.
There's something oddly endearing about Kawhi Leonard too. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it, because everything that went down between him and the Spurs is kind of, you look at it and go, what's up with this guy? But you also look at him and go, I don't know. He's so oddly quirky, and I don't know.
Because I think he's ultra-focused.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. He's just – but I don't know. You're happy for him. You're happy for the fans of Toronto.
With Kawhi Leonard, it feels like he has no time for the nonsense. He's got time to be focused in on what he has time to be focused in on. And also,
Boardman gets boards.
I do like a guy that's like – public life and what he has going on, he gives you only what he has to give you. You know, you don't need to consume his whole existence.
Kawhi's not going to be doing a Facebook Live session with fans.
I kind of like that in sports figures and in public figures. Like,
that's a good call.
Okay, I'll give you what I need to give you, and then, like, this is my time.
Right.
When I shut the microphone off, when I close the door, when the game's over, like, this is my time. All right, so that was ultra exciting and good for Toronto. Coming up next, can't stand Cleveland. And here is another reason. And maybe it's all going to fall apart before it even gets started. So, so great from the Cleveland Browns. All right, good morning to you. It's on, Chris. It's breakfast time. Come and see us.
Yes.
American Natural. Give you a breakfast sandwich. First 40 people to come and say hello to us. We're here. American Natural, Wexford, Route 9, 10 and 79. So say hello. We'll be here until 10. First 40 people, though, when the breakfast sandwiches are gone, they're gone, and they are great. We're going to have ours in just a little bit. Yeah. Amanda is standing by at the ready to say hello to you. You say hello to her. You say hello to us, and bang, breakfast is on us. Baker Mayfield, he said hello to his the team he's been quarterback of for about half a season. He's entering into, I guess, being the incumbent is the best way to call it. And he's tired of it. He said this, I don't know, back June 3rd or 4th or so. He said, you know, if you don't want to be here, Duke Johnson, stay home. This is what he said.
You know what? That's something that we've been dealing with for a while. You know, if we have guys that want to be here, they'll show that. They'll voice that. Obviously, you know, he's going to handle his stuff how he wants. But you're either on this train or you're not. It's moving. You can get out the way or you can join us. So it is what it is.
Move, trick. Get out the way. That's the radio edit version. Now, several Browns
way,
players, right, Ron Mann? It's trick they use, I believe.
Get out the
Ron
way.
Mann's a radio expert, so he says trick, yes. So Duke Johnson is a veteran, right? And Baker Mayfield is not. Well, apparently several Browns players not happy with Baker Mayfield for what he said. According to NFL.com, multiple players confronted Mayfield at some point between back then, the 4th of June, and yesterday, after those comments were made, to voice displeasure. It seems Mayfield's teammates wanted to see the quarterback support Johnson and rally around his team, stand arm in arm with a kind of show of force against the man, rather than call his team out through the media. Johnson's been demanding a trade since April. Johnson presumably wants to be traded, obviously because of the Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt situations. Mayfield wasn't upset that Johnson requested that trade. He also seemed upset that Johnson took the situation public. Total mess. Total mess. After these words, it's pretty clear his teammates wanted him to be more diplomatic. Jarvis Landry was when he was asked about Johnson on the same day. I hope he understands and feels that guys are here for him. Whether he is or not, they're here for him. So they haven't played a game yet. They haven't gone to camp yet. They're just at mini camp. This is something where Baker Mayfield thought he was going to be a leader and step up and call somebody out, and he ends up dividing people. Tell me all about that Browns championship some more.
Well, I mean, look, they're still a better team than they were a year ago. This is what I said and what I've been saying since the very beginning. They're a better team than they were a year ago, but now you've got to combine all these combustible personalities. You got to combine a young, brash maybe isn't the way to put it, but a young quarterback who's trying to feel himself as a leader, right? And you've got combustible components like Beckham and Landry, and you're bringing all this together, and then the little cherry on top of the sundae is the running back, who really isn't he's better than people think, wants to get traded now, because there's two guys that are going to get the ball before him, especially after week 8. It's a lot going on, and if the rookie head coach can't handle all of it, and if all of these guys come together and things start to blow up like this, it could go sideways real quick. Can they handle all this pressure? Can they handle all the nonsense that gets kicked up when you've got all these personalities in the same room?
Here's the best person in the vortex, absolutely, is Luther Campbell, right?
What?
Two Live Crews, Uncle Luke.
Uncle Luke.
Right? So his wife is Duke Johnson's agent. Follow me on this.
This is too perfect.
This is too great. So he's married to Kristen Campbell,
okay,
who is Duke Johnson's agent.
All right.
So he tweets, F the
Martinez. F Martinez.
No, F Baker Mayfield for saying that dumb S about Duke Johnson. I guarantee you be the one to divide this locker room. You're not in Texas at Cracker Barrel. Then he...
Uncle Luke.
Then he tweets, "Hey Baker Mayfield.
Oh my God!
This will be my last tweet to you. Brett Favre traded. Joe Montana traded. Peyton Manning traded. Drew Brees traded. Dan Marino told to go home. Don't ever turn on your teammates for management. You're not exempt."
Wow, this is that.
So there we go. So out of nowhere, quite literally, like left field. Nowhere. Here comes Luther Campbell in on the situation. This is the Browns can't handle this spotlight, and they're never. I said it from day one.
Well, we'll see if they can.
It's not happening. It is going to buckle because Baker Mayfield, albeit his intentions are good, he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand that you can't be rah rah and play both sides. It's all going to fall in on the Cleveland Browns, and I'm here for all of it. I can't wait to watch it. Because it's going to happen.
Uncle Luke.
Uncle Luke. folds himself into all this.
I need Two Live Crew to reunite for
you're
just
not
one
at a
song.
Cracker Barrel in Texas. It's such a hot line, though.
That is.
Like, go back and talk about, you know.
That's right up there with go get it out of the ocean.
Right. So there's that.
Oh, man.
Speaking of the ocean, a guy hit the ball in the ocean yesterday and blamed someone else. This is good stuff from the world of golf. And later on, the odds are out for NFL MVP. And you're going to be interested to see which receiver here, which receiver has better odds than what other receiver. And the one receiver may end up being mad when he finds out about all of this. That's all coming up next. We're here at American Natural, Wexford, 910 and 79. Come see us. We're just down from the big stop sign there, just down from Sorgles. Come down and see us. We're here. We're having a great time. Breakfast sandwiches are on us. First 40 people to come by and say hello. We are the Fan Morning Show. Good morning to you. 412-928-9370 is that number. We're excited. It's the Fan Morning Show. We're out here at American Natural. In Wexford, 910-79. Stop by and see us. Breakfast sandwiches on us for the first 40 people. We've had a bunch of people already stop by and say hello. So there's that. Michael McHenry, we'll get him on the phone coming up at 9 o'clock here on the Fan Morning Show. Producer Matt, he is on his way back from Colorado. We'll see him Monday. So happy.
Sent us some pictures.
Yeah, he was at the stadium. He was at Colorado Stadium, University of Colorado. He snuck his way in there, was looking around.
I don't know how he pulled that off.
Oh, he's Producer Matt. He just told him. He's like Jacko, whatever.
Everybody knows me out here.
Everybody knows me out west. So I just tell him
who
I am.
Let me tell you, Ron.
Hey, Ron. Nice talking to you, you know.
Everybody out here in Southern California knows me.
He'll call today. He'll make his Friday call. I'm getting set on the weekend. I'm dying on these Pirates. That's what he'll say. Jacko, whatever. Anyway, let's get to our Twitter poll, why don't we? Daily Twitter poll, this from yesterday. How much of this week's U.S. Open do you plan to watch? A lot of people voted, and there were four choices. All of it, some of it, it depends on Tiger's play, or none of it. 37% of you said none of it.
Wow.
Not going to watch the U.S. Open. 31% said some of it. 18% it depends on Tiger's play. And 13% of you say all of it. I will watch all of the U.S. Open. The weekend Twitter poll, vote and vote now when you get a chance at Fan Morning Show. Whew, this one's not good. Will the poll's good, but I can't believe it. I can't believe we're asking this question. Will the Pirates finish ahead of the Cincinnati Reds, misspelled, by the way, this season? Will the Pirates finish
ahead?
How many
eyes are in there?
Like 14. I don't write them. I just
other
look at them. I send them, yeah, I send
hard
them to other
work.
People. Will the Pirates finish ahead of the Cincinnati Reds? Yes, ahead of Cincinnati. No, below Cincinnati. 33% of you say, yeah, the Pirates will finish ahead of the Reds. 67, so two-thirds of you say, no, they're going
to
finish below the Cincinnati Reds.
That's
a sad
point.
Me too. That's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it really, it's really no good. All right, so back to the U.S. Open, which I found great that the viewing was on at, like, dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. They had two different channels last night at, I don't know, what time was it, 4:30 maybe? Where they could just – they stayed with select groups. They stayed with, like, two groups, or you could flick to regular Fox, I think it was, and you could follow, like, the wide coverage, the wide swapping coverage of everybody. So I flipped to the – I didn't stay with the two select groups, and it was great. So they had Jordan Spieth, who's – I hope he's not turning into a total jerk. He goes and he calls out his caddy. It was something that was – really uncomfortable. I think his caddy's name was Michael, maybe.
Yes, yes.
So Jordan Spieth hits a bad shot. And, of course, here's the microphones. They're right there, which I like. And I don't care if somebody swears or not. They're right there. So he hits the ball, and it's a terrible shot. And he says, listen, two perfect shots there, Michael. You got me one in the water and one over the green. As he's walking to the eighth green. He turned to his caddy, Michael Greller.
Michael swung the club for him.
Right. Like, who's steering the ship? Who's the guy that's in the pilot house? Is it you or is it Michael? That, to me, if you could sum up the pretentious nature of what people think is the stereotypical, and they're wrong in a lot of cases, but some people are right in some cases. if you could sum up in summation, put the stereotypical nature of the spoiled,
stuffed
rich
shirt
golfer.
Golfer, yeah.
That is
that
exactly
that lives up
it.
To every ounce of it.
That moment was it when he hits the ball into Carmel Bay. Bay, whatever. And it goes over a 100-foot cliff.
You could say it with that snooty notation on your voice. Two perfect shots, Michael.
Right.
Ugh.
And, like, flip his collar up as he's walking away and be like, shine my shoes when you're done.
Like, here are the keys. Park the car.
It was a horrid moment in terms of, like, and look, the guy gets paid well. He's the caddy. The guy, I'm sure it wasn't personal, but it felt like, to me, you're less of a human than I am. God forbid I blame myself for hitting that. It's got to be someone else's fault.
Just take the heat. You hit the ball. Your shots were the – I mean, yeah. And I understand Jordan Spieth isn't playing as well as he wants to, but that's no excuse to act like an entitled brat.
And after the round, he said he was only frustrated he and the caddy hadn't come up with the correct number, right? Yes. We were talking about potentially one less club, and I said, but isn't it playing about 60 with a fade? And he said yes. So we both agreed on it. It was clearly a 4-iron off the tee. At the same time, when you hit a couple of shots exactly where you want to, and the first one is in the water and the next one's dead over the green, I'm going to be frustrated that as a team, we didn't figure out how to make sure that didn't happen. I may have looked like the bad guy there, but my intentions were that we should be in play if the balls hit solidly, and I was out of play on both shots. So he still, even when he kind of doubled down on it, still kind of blamed the guy. Like, I hit the ball right exactly how I wanted to, and the guy messed up. He needs to just triple down if he really feels that way and fire the guy as opposed to, you know.
He needs to just yell at him for everything from here on out.
It was just, man. It was such a funny moment.
It's the wrong kind of protein bar in my bag, Michael.
I was just, bleh. All right, back to the Pirates, top of the hour. Michael McHenry at 9 o'clock. Lots of football to talk about as well. A bunch of different things interspersed throughout. And there was a cycle in Major League Baseball last night. It came from not an unlikely source, but someone who you may not think, well, that guy's going to hit for a cycle. That's all coming up next here, Fan Morning Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.